Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
So today's sermon, I've given it a title. It's, We Must Stay Attached to the Vine of Jesus. We must stay attached to the vine of Jesus. We're going to open up to John chapter 15. I want to remind everyone, this is a Bible. I bring mine to church because it's like a, I've been taught that it's my sword. And so I don't want to go into any fight or any battle without my sword. I don't know about you. Maybe you guys got better skills than me at street fighting. I don't know. I need my sword. Amen? All right, John 15. I'm going to start, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 17. So just bear with me. This is titled, The Vine and the Branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Let us pray. Jesus, we're so thankful this morning. Today's a very, very special day, where we get to sit and let you breathe your living word over us. Lord, we don't want to miss what you have for us this morning. We want you to really water our souls, water our minds, water our hearts with your goodness. We receive the gifts this morning that you have for us. Today's Father's Day, and instead of us bringing gifts to you, Lord God, I really feel like you're just pouring out your gifts on us. And we're sitting here with open hearts. Our hands are open. Our posture is a posture to receive. We thank you so much. Have your way in us, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I love this. Jesus uses the image of a garden to help us understand our relationship with him. the Thompson family has done a little bit of gardening, so this is kind of easy for me to see this metaphor. But God is the gardener, and Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. To thrive, we must remain connected to him. The second we're disconnected is when things feel weird and get weird. So anyways, encouragement number one, remain in the vine. So every yard needs regular care, yeah? We must, the weeds must be pulled and branches trimmed and plants watered, and none of us like it. It's work. It's manual labor. But we have to do it. Without care, even the most beautiful garden becomes overgrown. In the same way, our spiritual lives need tending, just like the garden. And I don't know about you guys, but how easy is it to let a few weeks or a few months go by without attending to the yard chores? And before we know it, things are out of control. So it is with our spiritual life. This morning, we can get super filled up in here and be like, man, I received that word. I received some prayer from a brother or sister. I received this, and I feel so good. And then go on for 2 or 3 weeks or 2 or 3 months or, you know, et cetera, like we're all good, and we don't attend to our spiritual life. We don't go to the Word of God. We don't seek his face for anything. Okay. You guys with me? Or am I just the only one that experiences this? Am I the only flawed one? All right, I want to recap this. Verses 1 through 4. Jesus is the vine. Can you say that? Jesus is the vine. God is the gardener. And we are the branches. Part of the important part about walking with Jesus is knowing our lane. Sometimes it goes, God, me, Jesus. Like I know what's best for my life. Jesus is behind me in line. I'll tell him. I got things figured out. But I have some questions to reflect on. Have you ever felt, or do you currently feel, disconnected from the vine? It's just a no answer needed. I have. I'll just answer for all of us. I have felt disconnected before during my time as a saved Christian. Knowing who I am in God's hands, I still feel disconnected. Are there areas in your life that need to be cut, trimmed, pruned? Are there some areas in your life? Listen, we have hydrangeas in the yard, a lot of them. In the back, in the front, they're all over the place. My wife loves hydrangeas. And in a beautiful plant, there's some beautiful flowers, and then there's some dead stuff. And I'm not saying that we're not a perfect plant and that we just need to be cut and like start fresh. All I'm saying is there's some bad stuff that's attached to us, and we all know what it is. All of us have it. God's calling us because he's an on-time God, and he's saying, I want to prune these things. I am ready to prune. Are you ready? We were saying, I love that. We're getting ready. Yeah, I'm ready. I am so over the things that are ruining my life in regards to my relationship with Jesus. I'm over it. And I feel like God sent me to say it to you. It hurts his heart to see you holding on to things that are blocking you from him. It makes Father God sad when we just keep on our own fleshly ways. And he's saying, stop. I want to ask you, what needs to be surrendered so God can bring growth? Oftentimes I'll be thinking, man, I see this brother or sister, and I see the anointing on their life, and I'm wondering, why aren't they rising up in that calling? It's because there's some dead stuff that needs to be trimmed and so they can grow healthy. There's a blockage, if you will. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So we know how blessed we are with Jesus. Can you imagine if we allowed him to prune those things off that need to, or the cut the things off so that it can be pruned properly and we can grow even more blessed? That's an exciting thought. I mean, I'm ready for that. God prunes the dead things in our lives, but he also prunes the good things to make them better and more fruitful. Pruning may feel painful, but it's a sign of love and purpose. So that's a promise. If I promise you this, and God just is promising it. If you do make a decision to deal with the things that are blocking you from God, I'm just telling you right now, it's going to be a little painful. But it's love. It's not fun. I feel like we're consumed with wanting to have fun, wanting to feel good, wanting just to be everything okay and perfect. It's not. Our walk with Jesus is very challenging. But he's calling us to a life of challenge, to step out in faith. So when we picture a plant or a tree or something that has fruit on it, that he's pruning and it becomes fruitful, what does that look like? I want to talk about Galatians 5, 22 and 23, where it tells us that, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are not just traits, they are evidence of a life connected to Jesus. But this is a good barometer for me, and I want to share this with you. This is not new. I'm not coming up with some new idea. Just want to share this, though. How do we determine if we're the plant that needs to be trimmed or cut? How do we know? Okay, here we go. We're feeling very Christian and full of love, but what we're displaying to the world is hatred, selfishness, and apathy. We're feeling very Christian, like we're very joy-filled, but we're actually acting and displaying bitterness, despair, and misery. We're trying to be conduits of peace, but we're bringing worry, conflict, and anxiety in our own lives, and we're actually being a conduit to those that we love, and that's what we're sharing. We're kind people, yeah, Christians? But there's a meanness about us. There's cruelty about us. There's indifference in us. Oh, the goodness of the Lord is in me. God is good. All the time. He doesn't fail. But I'm corrupt and I have wickedness inside of me. I'm so faithful. God's so faithful. We're all so faithful. I went to church today, but we're being disloyal and we betray people. I'm gentle with those in need. Am I, or am I harsh, or am I aggressive with those that are bothering my timing of today? I practice self-control in all things. I'm a Christian. I've got it. I self-control on lock. Nothing can get to me except for I'm impulsive about everything. I have a huge lack of discipline in every area of my life. I can't control my mind when it comes to sexual desire. I can't control my mind when it comes to my diet. I can't control my mind when it comes to the things that make me feel good, that get me out of my mind, that allow me to forget about the day of work that I just experienced and my coworkers. I have no discipline. These are the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. And I know that everything that I just said isn't what we all are, but I bet you there's something that I said that you can relate to that God wants to trim and cut. And when he trims and cuts, this is what we look like. We're full of love where it's selfless and sacrificial care. We're filled with joy, deep, lasting gladness. We're filled with peace. And we rest in God's sovereignty. We're very patient, enduring delays of hardship with grace. Kindness comes easy. We're tenderness in all of our actions. We're tender in all of our actions. Goodness, we're pursuing what is right at all times. When we go to do something and it's wrong, we just, you know what? I'm not doing it. We pursue the right thing. Faithfulness, we're steadfast in trust and obedience. Gentleness, strength under control. Self-control, mastery over impulses. And here's the thing, is that we cannot do that. None of us can live up to that, except for when we just surrender to the Lord and say, will you just make me whole? Will you make me clean? Jesus, I need you. I want your fruit. I want you to trim me. I offer my body to you. I offer my mind to you. I offer my heart to you. It's so corrupt. It's so evil. Lord, I keep failing. I surrender to you. Have your way in me. Daily. That has to be daily like that. Surrendering all to him. So when we give our lives to Jesus, we are actually grafted in into his vine. God begins a deep, loving process of removing what hinders and cultivating what brings him glory. Stay connected to Jesus daily. Let him tend to the garden of your heart before it becomes choked out by the weeds of this world. You guys understand, in your yard, the weeds come in and they start eating everything up and they take over your beautiful garden. So it is with the distractions of this world. Just say, God, will you tend my garden? Will you pick the weeds? Will you pull them out? Will you trim me up? I want to be beautiful. All right. Encouragement number two. I love this. He actually gives us a command. Like, geez, God, you're bossy, huh? You guys look, sometimes he gets a little bossy with us. And he's saying, I command you to love. He's not asking. He's not giving us a choice. He's fully commanding it. My command is this. At verse 12, he says, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. And I think oftentimes we think about this outside of our church family. But what would it look like if we took these words and we said, I want to bring this into my, God has called me to this church, God has called me to this body, and I want to start laying down my life for my brothers and sisters right here. What would it look like if our brothers and sisters that are in need weren't as in need because of us laying down our lives to help them? What if we just started that right here in a church that's, we're not huge, this is not a many congregants, right? We are the size that God wants us, because he wants us to submit to his power and his plan, his command to love one another. If we're waiting for this church to blow up and become the biggest church in the Bay and then we'll start loving each other, we got something wrong with that equation. The size is perfect. The love is what's needed. Jesus calls us friends, not servants. He says he chose us on purpose. None of us is here on accident. He's called us here to love one another. He's commanded us. Our mission is to bear lasting fruit, rooted in God's love. Jesus didn't graft us in so we could sit still. He grafted us in so we could grow in love and reproduce his life in others. The life that he's given us, he wants us to share with others. So for us to think that all of us are on the same trajectory and relationship with Jesus is wrong. We're all in a different spot with Jesus. Some of us have been reading the Bible for years, decades. Some of us have been reading the Bible for a week or less. We need to pray, God, show me the one that doesn't know what I know so that I can freely give it to them, so I can give them my time, so I can give them my knowledge, so that I can show them how I was taught to go through the Bible. If we're relying on Pastor Matt to do that, it's going to be not successful. Pastors rotate. Congregants shouldn't. So it's up to the congregation to be encouraged by the pastor. Sure, I'm encouraging you. Let's find brothers and sisters to get into the Bible with, to share the goodness of God. I want to share this thing about grafting. I love this. I knew a guy that took a branch. He just took a branch from my cherry tree, cherry blossom tree, and he went home and did something fancy. He cut it up, put it in some water, and it grew, and he's got a tree now. This was before us. It was actually the original owner of my house that I bought it from. One of the family members came back and said, well, you know, my mom planted these trees, and I want them. We miss these trees. And so he came and did some stuff. But this is he did what God does. Paul explains in Romans 11, 17 through 24, that we as Gentiles have been grafted into God's family, not by merit, but by mercy. He says, you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in and now share in the nourishing root. And this olive tree, this is the metaphoric picture here. The olive tree is God's people. I'm not talking about you, olive. Don't be offended. This is biblical stuff. The natural branches were the Jews that actually rejected Jesus. But the grafted in branches, the ones that were grafted in that weren't originally part of God's tree, are the believers from every nation who trust in Christ. And the root of this tree is God's covenant and promises. God has made room on the vine for us. He didn't have to do this, but he loves us. Now we are nourished by his Spirit and called to bear his fruit. A couple questions I want you to ponder right now. First question, what vine am I attached to? Because if we're looking at God's plan and God's people, if we're looking at the Old Testament, we see that the Israelites are God's chosen people. And then we look at New Testament, Jesus saying, it's for all those that have faith in me, Jesus says. For everybody. What vine are you attached to? Are you attached to Jesus? Or are you attached to pornography? What is the main thing in your life? Are you attached to Jesus, or are you attached to, you know, terrible things? Is food more important than God? Here's the biggest one. Is money more important than God? Are you chasing money? I don't know about you, but I have not received one day of happiness from money. Actually, our experience has been the more money we have, the more trouble. The less we have, the more reliable on God we become, and we just feel so blessed. Because it's all from him, and it's not from these hands. Because when I start getting money, I start giving glory and honor to my hands and how great I am and how smart I am and, oh, look at me. And God soon is in the background. Next question. Who is shaping and pruning your life? Is the world shaping your life and pruning your life, or is the gardener of your soul pruning your life? Am I producing, third question, am I producing the fruit of the Spirit, or am I producing all those things that I said that weren't very fruity, that weren't very Spirit-filled? I have to ask myself this all the time. I wake up, so 7 days in a week, and I wake up on the wrong side of the bed like 4 days a week, you know? I'm that kind of person. And I'm ready to be a tornado through my house, like, you know, roaring, rah, you know, very impatient, very unkind, not not looking like Jesus at all. And so I have to like stop, and we need to practice, because you know what I've found is that I know what it feels like to be that person. There was a time where I was like, I can't tell when it's going to come. I know when it's going to come. That was a lie. I was being deceived. I'm not being deceived anymore. If I'm acting cranky with my family, that's my fault. I'm not seeking the face of Jesus. I know when I'm going to be cranky. And so do you. Ask God to cut that out of your life. Enough. It's got to start inside of our house and inside of our church. Love. James 5:16 says, and this is what's going to help us. I feel like this is I love God's word. It's powerful, but like I'm not getting it. I can't break through to the other side on this thing. I want to get to the other side of this darkness. How? And I feel like James nails this right here. Praise God. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Confess your sins to one another. And if this is a place where when we confess our sins and then we share it with everyone else, like, hey, Olive shared some of her dirt and she confessed her sins, so I'm going to go tell Scott. That's not cool at all. That's not what God is asking us to do. What he wants us to do is if someone says, hey, I need to talk to you, brother or sister, and I want to confess some stuff, I'm gonna lay it all down right here, and I want you to pray for me. And it stays in that conversation as if it never happened. And let God do the healing. And we don't spread rumors about people, and you know what I mean? We have to be safe here. I want it to be known that where do you go to church? I would rather it be said instead of, oh, I go to Lighthouse, it's a four-square church, and it's spirit-filled. Like, well, okay, that's what churchy people want to say. I would rather say this, where do you go to church? I don't know, I forget the name of it. It's up there by Lunardi's, but all I know is that when I go there, I'm so safe, and I'm so forgiven, and I'm so loved. I don't know where it is, but I'll pick you up and show you where it's at because I forget. And we don't get caught up in the name, and we don't get caught up in what it's supposed to be. And do they have a website? Do they have a podcast? Do they have this? Who cares? My hope, my heart for San Bruno and the rest of the peninsula is that whatever size this church is that when you cross that door, it's a safe place to come. Because we are commanded to love one another. Commanded. Jesus is saying, if you're a follower of me, you are going to love because I first loved you. So let us stay connected to Jesus and help one another do the same. Together as the body of Christ, we can grow stronger and bear much fruit for his glory and for his joy. Together we can do all this. Amen? All right, closing thoughts. Jesus said, and he said this in this scripture, apart from me, you can do nothing. I really found that out like a week ago or something, and I went to the doctor, and Olive healed me up. I mean, is that how it went? I saw Olive in the emergency room. I went to Kaiser. She was working, and I was... God's hand was all over that whole experience. But, you know, I found out that I have stones in my gallbladder, and I need to have my gallbladder removed. And this is good news, because I have experienced now 3 times the pain of those stones rising and clogging that tube where it empties out. It's not a fun feeling. It hurts. I've never felt pain like this in my life. And this is a perfect example of I can't do anything apart from him. And my wife was so patient with me. I said this happened 3 times, and 2 times she kept telling me, let's go to the hospital. And I just fought through it, and the pain eventually went away. And this 3rd experience, I tapped out. I said, okay, we'll go. And we can't do anything without his love and his hand on us. He will direct the whole show. He will pay your bills. He will get you a job. He will find you a place to live. He will put shoes on your feet. He will put a jacket on your back. He will do the whole thing. If we just sit back and relax and follow this command to love one another. Let us remain in him and let us love like him. And I'll end with the title because I feel like we can't move and breathe, and we got to stop doing life our way, and we must stay attached to the vine of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.